So continuing in our series on the Ten Commandments that we've been looking at through the summer, today we're actually going to cover two related commandments together. So number 10, if you were here for the opening introduction, you may remember Liam over here, number 10 with his beautiful hen, because remember everything rhymed, 10 hen. So you remember his beautiful hen, and don't you wish that you had a hen as beautiful as his hen? Because his hen is better than your hen. So 10 hen was no coveting, if you remember. And number 8, if you remember Rahel and Parker here, Rahel stealing the plate right in front of all of us. So 8 plate was no stealing. If that doesn't make any sense to you at all, you missed May 28th, and that's fine. But we're actually going to look at both of those today. Number 10 first, and that will then lead into the other. So commandment number 10, no coveting. Now the commandment itself in Exodus 20 verse 17, which was read today, is this. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or female servant or ox or donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. You shall not covet anything of anyone else's. The author, pastor and author Kevin DeYoung encourages us to just slow down and read it again and flesh it out a little bit. So I'm going to read his words about this commandment. He writes, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. They sure do have a lot of nice stuff. I'm so tired of living in this neighborhood. We live in a dump. It must be nice to live somewhere so fancy and well decorated. Why can't I have a house like that? You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Wow, she sure is beautiful. Why couldn't my wife age like that? I wish I'd married someone like her. I'd be so much happier if I hadn't married my wife. Look at her husband. He's always so friendly. He's good with the kids. He helps around the house. He fixes things, not just breaking them. Why am I stuck with my husband when there are other men out there? You shall not covet his male servant, his female servant, ox, or donkey. Man, my car is a piece of junk. It's not fair. All our friends get to take great vacations. They go to the Grand Canyon and Disney World. Some go to Hawaii in Europe. We're lucky if we can go to grandma's. Why am I stuck in this loser job? I wish my kids were more like their kids. Why do I have such lame parents? You shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. I wish I could be as smart as he is. My life would be so much better if I looked like her. Why can't I have a normal family? Why can't I run, jump, throw, or be as strong as my friends? Why is everything in my life hard when everything for everyone else is so easy?" And then he concludes, "There's nothing necessarily wrong with noticing what other people have, but most of us don't stop and notice so that we can give thanks to God for his blessings to others. We notice and then stop being thankful for what he has given to us." So coveting is not the same as wanting or having a passing wish. All desire is not bad. That's Buddhism, not Christianity. We can and should desire good things in proper contexts. Coveting is the unhealthy desire to have what someone else has. It's unfair that they have it and you don't. If I had that, then I'd be happier. I'd feel better. I'd appear better in everyone else's eyes. I'd be fulfilled. Do you hear the language of coveting? I need that in order to be fulfilled, in order to be happy. It's not fair that they have it and I don't. Finding ultimate fulfillment and joy. There actually is something or someone who gives that to us. And he's available in equal measure to all of us who receive him. Yeah, God. And coveting, that desiring to have what someone else has and the unfairness of not having it, moves God from the place that he belongs as the ultimate object of our affections and puts something else there. I'll be fulfilled if I have that. And that's why Paul, one of the New Testament writers, writes that covetousness is a form of idolatry. So he writes this, Ephesians 5:5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Colossians 3:5-6. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, inappropriate passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Coveting puts the wrong things in the wrong order of priorities in our hearts. And wanting other people's things, other people's lives, other people's relationships in this way, means that ultimately we're accusing God of mismanagement. We're complaining against God's unfairness, whether we say it that way or not. We've replaced God as our ultimate fulfillment with something else. And so coveting is a heart issue. Coveting, this jealousy, envy, rivalry, fear, all wrapped up into one, accuses God of mismanagement and unfairness towards us and puts something else as our source of fulfillment other than God. And sometimes that desire leads to that coveting leads to adultery. That's the seventh commandment. We've looked at that. Sometimes that internal desire, misplaced desire, can lead to violence. That's the sixth commandment. We've looked at that. And sometimes that coveting leads to theft. So number 8, no stealing. Exodus 20, verse 15 says, very simply, you shall not steal. Now, not all stealing comes from coveting, per se. Sometimes it's compulsive, sometimes it's for the illicit thrill. But stealing often springs from the heart that covets what someone else has. In the book of Joshua, in the Old Testament, God's people were told not to take any spoil from a certain war. And a man named Achan did not obey. And when he was caught, he said this: "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and I took them. I saw the nice clothes and money that no one was going to miss. I wanted them and I took them for myself. I wanted deep in my heart, so I stole." Now, the kingdom of God is to be a place of contentment and safety in him. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. We're asking for God's kingdom life here and now. And following the Lord's command not to steal, actually will begin to give some of that safety and security that we're supposed to have. I mean, just think of how much money is spent on protecting ourselves, protecting our companies, our online identities from theft. Think of the poorest in the world, where violent theft with impunity is one of the most devastating crimes that keep people impoverished. You work, you live, you get by, and then a violent thug comes and takes it away. Stealing has absolutely no place in God's kingdom. Sometimes that theft is done simply for the thrill. Sometimes it's to exert power over the vulnerable. Sometimes it's because God hasn't given me what I need or want, and so I'm going to take it for myself. But stealing has absolutely no place in God's kingdom among God's people. So stealing and coveting. What does that look like in our actual lives? What do we do about it? So coveting, by definition, is a heart issue. That's where that sin takes place. It is a heart issue. And when that heart issue gets put into action, it can result in stealing, in theft. So yes, we have to address the behavior, absolutely, which we will in a moment. But a heart issue cannot solely be addressed through changing behavior. But God actually promises through the Holy Spirit to change our hearts. When Jesus died and rose again, our sins are forgiven and we're given his life as our own. And we're invited into his life, into his way, into his kingdom. And we're filled with the Holy Spirit to empower us to live that new life, to actually change our hearts on the inside, to change us from the inside out. Ezekiel chapter 36, God promises to his people. He says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh," give you a soft heart. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." God, in his mercy, does what we cannot do to change our heart. In Jesus, we are given a new heart to know and love and follow the Lord. And with that new heart in Jesus, we can experience what our reading from 1 Timothy 6 said, contentment in him. That's also what Paul writes about in Philippians chapter 4. He says, "I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And here's what the secret is. I can do all these things through him who strengthens me." I can be in scarcity or abundance. I can be hungry or full. I can be content in anything because Jesus gives me strength to get through it. I can be content because I trust in Jesus. He will bring me through so I can rest content in him. Now, our discontentment with our stuff, that jealousy and coveting of others, our discontent shows how much we believe God owes us. But our contentment in him shows that we are thankful for what God has given and what God has done for us. Now, that does not mean that we should accept all bad things and, you know, just accept them. No, fix injustice, especially for others. Make no peace with injustice. But this is talking about accepting what we have with thankfulness rather than focusing on what they have and we don't. Discontentment in our heart shows us how much we think God owes us, but contentment shows that we are thankful and we trust in him. You shall not covet and you shall not steal. So some practical steps related to these commands: coveting and stealing. So that same author at the beginning, Kevin DeYoung again, he offers four diagnostic statements which I think are helpful to help identify in our own hearts, just being honest, coveting. Okay, I'm going to read them to you. You can think about it. You don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. You might be coveting if you've hurt others in order to get more for yourself. Undermine, backbiting, belittling, working behind your coworker's back to get ahead. You might be coveting if you're preoccupied with making and accumulating more. One person put it, "Covetousness has been rebranded as retail therapy." You might be coveting if you're unwilling to give up what you already have. You hold on to it too tightly. You might be coveting if you frequently are grumbling about your house, your spouse, the quality or quantity of your possessions, and the general state of your life. You might be coveting. Social media coveting. I have heard it said very wisely that we don't communicate on social media, we perform. Think about what happens to us when we see everyone else's performance. Their beautiful, perfect family, their new stuff, their amazing experiences, how incredible they look in that photo. And even when people on social media talk about how hard their family is, because sometimes people want to be open and vulnerable, it still often sounds kind of neat and kind of cute. Their performance makes us think that's what our life should be like. Our life should be like their performance. But of course, their life is not really like their performance either. So we start to covet their house or beauty or spouse or children or experience or car or toys. And just think about for a moment what your posts, which usually are a form of performance, might do to someone else's heart. I mean, have you ever thought about what us posting might do to someone else? Social media is in large part designed around and feeds on the coveting of our hearts. So maybe don't post so much, or be very thoughtful about it when you do. Maybe delete the app from your phone. I'm not saying you can never or should never participate, but maybe just take the apps out of your pocket, off your phone, so that you can't look at them 150 times a day. Maybe just go so far as delete the apps off your phone. Coveting. And stealing. Downloading music or movies without legal permission. Shoplifting. Borrowing and never bothering to return. Sneaking into a theater or concert. Lying, misleading, convenient omissions on your tax return. Claiming things as business expenses that are not. Anything other than 100% true and honest transparency, and saying that other people do any of these things does not in any way make it okay for Christians. Misusing your business account or business credit card. Just because you don't get caught doesn't mean it's okay. Wasting work time. They're paying you for things you're not doing. That's stealing from your employer. Overbilling for how many hours you actually worked. Pressuring someone to give something to you. Coercion. Finding something and not giving it back if possible. Not giving to the Lord. Malachi 3:10 calls not tithing, not giving 10% back to the Lord and his church, calls not doing that robbing God, stealing from God. So, if you have anything in your possession that does not belong to you, whether intentionally stolen or not, return it. Like this week, return it. Give it back. Call and apologize. If in any way possible, give it back, even with interest, or cleaned, or replaced. If you can't return it, replace it. And that includes something you took from work or a store. If you owe something and didn't give it or didn't pay it, do it now. If you have anything in your possession that you stole or just know you should not have, and there's just no way to return it, and I don't mean no way to return it because it's awkward or uncomfortable, but because there's actually no real way to return it, bring it to the church. I'm going to put a box, a big box, in the adult hallway, down that hallway. Bring it to the church and just put it in the box. If you stole it, you should not keep it. Put it in the box. If it's too valuable to just leave out, you can come give it to me privately and I will keep it until we figure out what to do with it. But do not keep it. Now, I will say this. This is in the category of you just can't make this stuff up. And probably the most on-the-nose object lesson I have ever heard. But when we did this activity in the church where I grew up, we actually did this, had the box out, and after a few days, things were going in it and such. After a few days, someone stole the box. Don't do that. Don't do that. Coveting and stealing. Now, the commandments are, should not be laughing about stealing. The commandments are, you shall not covet and you shall not steal. Rather, be content with what you have. Be content in God. Give of what you have to others and for the work of God. Receive Jesus and his new life, the new heart the Holy Spirit gives. Trust him to provide what you need. Work hard, absolutely, but don't covet and cheat and steal to get what you want. Trust in the Lord who cares for you. Seek him and the things of his kingdom, not the material gain that's for this world only. Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life. The Lord knows what you need. Those who don't know the Lord worry about all these things, but your heavenly Father knows what you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be added to you as well. Do not covet. Do not steal. Trust the Lord. Amen.